Accordingly, it is our duty to uphold our religious beliefs while respecting the law of land and project a progressive image of Islam. It is in this regard that we have organized today's gathering so we can learn better ways to live in the West and maintain a legacy for our generations to come. We are honored to have amongst us our distinguished scholar from Pakistan, Dr. Khalid Zaheer, to speak on the chosen topic, how Muslims should behave in the West. Dr. Khalid Zaheer is currently the Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences at University of Central Punjab. Prior to joining University of Central Punjab, he was the Associate Professor of Islamic Studies and Ethics at Lahore University of Management Sciences. Earlier, he taught at IBA and other educational institutions. Dr. Zaheer has done MBA from University of Punjab and PhD from University of Wales in Islamic Economics. His dissertation was a critique on interest-free banking. His areas of interest are Islamic banking and applications of Islamic teachings in contemporary business and social environment. His understanding of Islamic teachings and his experiences have convinced him that our present-day world is confronted with two extremisms, religious extremism and liberal extremism. He has joined University of Central Punjab to realize his dream of promoting the true message of Islam, which is neither extremist nor liberal, which is of moderation in its true essence. You will have an opportunity to ask Dr. Khalid Zaheer any questions that you wish in either Urdu or English. Papers will be handed out to you to scribe your queries. These will then be passed to Dr. Khalid Zaheer to answer. Now, I'd like to welcome Dr. Khalid Zaheer to come and talk on Muslims' role in the West.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I begin in the name of the God whose mercy is profound, whose kindness is forever. I am really very thankful to the organizers for having provided me with the opportunity to be A, in this country, and B, in this city and in this place, to be able to talk to my brothers and sisters on a very important and relevant topic. How should we Muslims behave in the West? When I see Australia on the map, I see it somewhere far on the extreme east, southeast, but indeed very much in its essence and spirit, it's a Western society. And what is relevant to the Muslims who are living geographically in the West is relevant to Muslims living in Australia as well. My task has been made easier, thankfully, by the organizers who are telling me that you just have to speak for 30 minutes and then you will face questions which I may or may not answer. Therefore, what I'll tell you briefly is what I understand are the important points that we ought to consider while we are living in a Western society as Muslims. One of the things that I believe we must all should make sure is that we preserve what we have. Thankfully, what we have is a religion from God that we value, and hopefully what we have is what we understand. If you understand your religion properly, I'm sure that deep down you have a feeling that it's important, it's something that really is valuable, needs to be preserved, strengthened. And when you come to a Western society, you do indeed feel that in some ways, some part of your religious commitment is getting challenged, if not threatened. And therefore, it's important that whether it be your beliefs or whether it be your morals or your religious practices, you would do well to not allow them to be weakened and eroded. For that, I'm sure that you're already pretty clean, and we keep meeting each other on different occasions with a view to, apart from, of course, socializing, which is very much important, to also continue to remind each other that what we have from our background is important. And if somebody doesn't know it, well, let's remind politely, intelligently. Because if that is not done, then everything else that I'm going to say is going to be irrelevant. We are Muslims first and foremost, and we would like to remain Muslims, good Muslims, Muslims who understand what their religion is, understand with an open mind. We are not bigots, we are not biased, we are not understanding things just from a very narrow point of view. We are willing to accommodate other views if they make sense. Why? Because we are confident. A person who is confident about his point of view would never be aggressive, never be emotionally charged when he's talking about his understanding with others who differ. So we would pray, hopefully, inshallah, regularly. We will read the Quran on a regular basis. We will meet good people, good Muslims, and we will do as much as is possible for us to preserve the great religious tradition that we are attached to. And of course, I'm sure that there are many things that the Almighty Himself has done in the form of asking us to pray, to do our Jummah prayer, and Eid, Ramadan. They all ensure that we, while live a full life in a Western society, wherein most certainly there are challenges, but we meet those challenges properly without allowing our commitment to our religion to be affected. The other thing that I think we Muslims, as good Muslims, ought to do likewise is that we integrate with the society that we have chosen to be a part of. This is something which is a moral duty. Allow me to say that it is a religious duty. If God Almighty expects us to be good to our neighbors, no matter whether they are relatives or not, no matter whether they are Muslims or not. Indeed, if you are a part of a society, you have to make sure that you integrate and be a part of the society in the right manner, in the right spirit. The laws of the country are applicable to you, and you are expected by Islam to follow them in letter and in spirit. They're not laws that are there to be flouted, and you have to contribute to the society in its betterment, in its welfare. If you are an Australian, you've got to be a good Australian. You cannot in any way violate the law and the contract that you have chosen to agree to. The Prophet, may God's mercy be on him, is reported to have said, La dina liman la ahdala. The one who does not fulfill the commitments that he has made has no religion. So if you are have chosen to live in this land and agree to the laws, you are under a contract, an agreement, an obligation. And like you are expected to pray regularly, similarly you are expected to be completely and fully loyal to the law and the expectations of the society. You might say that the first point you have mentioned, sir, and the second point that you've mentioned are quite at odds with each other. I would say, well, you see, not quite as much. There could be some challenges, but they're not necessarily at odds, because you can be a good Muslim and yet you can be a fully participating Australian, participating in its different aspects of life. Most certainly, while preserving your faith, you will make sure that you would not get involved, indulge in things which the Almighty wants you to stay away from. But then you will most certainly participate in things which are expected of you to contribute to the society. So it is very much your home. It is very much a part of your chosen family, which expects you to be quite as actively engaged in its in promoting its welfare as other members are. If you don't do it, you single out yourself, become prominent, and create a very poor impression. Why would we do that? We don't have to fear anything. We don't have to run away from anything. We've got something which is a part of our background and is a part of our commitment in the form of faith and religion. And on the other hand, we have chosen for ourselves to live in a society and an environment wherein the Almighty would expect that we be as good, meaningful, effective part of the society as could be possible. We are also expected, while we are a part of the Western society, to learn. A Muslim is always humble, eager to learn, open to correction, and look for opportunities to grow. And therefore, there is no reason for us to say to ourselves that, look here, we know everything, and therefore forget about the possibility that others can teach us anything. Not at all. The Almighty has created this world as a world of diversity. This diversity is created by God Himself. And when people belong to different backgrounds, different religions, different philosophical ideologies, commitments, well, that's what diversity does. This is something which is natural. And everybody has something good to offer. And we must therefore learn from what others have to offer to us. More particularly, because of the fact that we know and we ought to acknowledge that the West has done far better than us for a very long period of time. And this has not happened as a consequence of some conspiracy hatched by some people. It is something that has happened because some people of the world have decided to work hard and focus and concentrate on learning and improving, okay, from the worldly sense. And God Almighty has allowed them the opportunity, the privilege to make progress. We benefit from the progress that they've made, and we must learn from what they have to offer. The Prophet, may God's mercy be on him, is reported to have said, "Man lam yashkurin nas lam yashkurillah." The one who does not thank humans cannot thank God. It is not possible for us to maintain a strategy and understanding that okay, we might benefit from these people here and there, but then of course, otherwise they are cursed. They are doomed. They, you know, have no respect in our hearts. That state of mind is very, very unfortunate, very sad. We have to learn. When you learn from somebody, well, you've got to show respect. And you cannot learn unless and until that you realize that others know more. And what you're doing is actually acknowledging and understanding what God has decided. God has decided and chosen that because of our because of our undoing, because of our weaknesses, because of our problems, He has announced some other nations to make more progress. And we must acknowledge God's decision. We must submit to it. And the only way of doing it is that we learn from them. And the tremendous progress that they have done, made, we must try to understand. And not just in science and technology. Not just in science and technology. Allow me to say, in morals as well, in discipline as well. Sad as it is, we do know that in many facets of life, people in the West are far better in their moral performance than we are. They're more committed, they're more law-abiding, they're more disciplined, they're more reliable, they're more trustworthy, they're more hardworking. And it is these qualities that have enabled them to become what they are. And it is a lack of these qualities in us that has caused us to be what we are. We must acknowledge God's decision, and we must therefore understand that if at all our fate is going to change, it is going to change only and only through making an earnest attempt to understand what the truth about God's plan is, and to realize that we have certain weaknesses which need to be overcome. And the more we realize and the more we overcome, the more it is going to help us in becoming good humans, good Muslims, and hopefully the Almighty will enable us to make progress in this world and in the next one. The last but not the least is the expectation that we will also promote our understanding, promote the truth that we believe is truth. This is important because it's natural when you are learning from others, because others have something good to offer to you. If you have in turn something else better to offer to them, why would you not? However, that doesn't really mean that you be unnecessarily aggressive. It doesn't really mean that you insult others. It doesn't really mean that you have an arrogant approach wherein you are making statements wherein you look down upon others. What it only means is that you have sympathy for others. You have love and concern for others. Unless you don't love others, you're not concerned about others, why would you share what you have with others? So you would promote the understanding that you have because you feel that it's important that it's shared, because it's important that we let others know what the Almighty's plan is. People need it. I find it so depressing that people are resigned to the fact that this life is the only life. Make hay while the sun shines, and then it's going to be all over. We know quite well that it's wrong. This life is only one part of the full life that the Almighty has offered. And therefore, we must do as best as we can to promote the understanding that we have about the truth from God with others. This is not possible. This is simply not possible unless we are behaving properly, unless our attitude, our behavior makes other people feel that, you know, these people really, they must be having something good in them. Why? Because they're good humans, they have good behavior, they're satisfying, they respect. And, you can see that despite difficulties, they're comfortable, they're contentment. So they'll ask you, what makes you what you are? And then you will politely and humbly say that, you know, this is what our understanding is. No matter how correct your understanding, if your attitude is wrong, if your behavior is bad, if you are behaving immorally, telling lies, you seem to be arrogant in your attitude, you insult others, you doubt the intentions of others, you look down upon others. No matter whatever your ideology, people would not give it a damn. They would not take it seriously. Because it's quite natural that you be good and then you get the opportunity of letting others know what makes you good. But if you're not prepared to do that, then there's no chance. And I think that it probably would mean, and I fear that really would mean, that we had a tremendous opportunity. We had a tremendous opportunity to let others know about our beautiful religion, but we destroyed it. God has His own plans. God sent His message, His last message to be preserved for all times to come in a certain geographical locality. But the idea was to let it be known to all. There could have been very many different ways of doing it. But so it seems now from the manner things are happening that, because of economic compulsions, because of the reasons of education or whatever, people move from one part of the world to another, and they move with everything that they have, including their religion. God wanted people to come together and to let this opportunity get created, wherein those who are sharing a country with others talk to each other, talk politely, talk wisely, talk intelligently, but talk they must do, in order to let others know what the respective positions are as far as truth is concerned. And of course, it is something that would require you to have a learning attitude. A learning attitude is an attitude wherein you don't say that what I have learned when I was a 16 years old young person holds true for all times to come. A learning attitude really means that I will remain open to truth. I will keep my mind open. When somebody else is going to talk to me, I will listen to him or her quite as carefully as I expect that the other person should listen to me when I am talking to him or her. If you don't do it, well, you are unfair. You are unjust. So when you have a learning attitude, and why would you have a learning attitude? Because you are the one who is always seeking the truth. Why would you have a learning attitude? Because your position is that what I understand today and feel comfortable and confident about, I'm understanding it because I think it's the truth. Truth is not just a word with four letters. Truth really means that, you know, you believe it. You're convinced. You know, you say that this is what it is. You have a problem, you have a disagreement, well, let's talk about it. If you are, while discussing truth, if you lose your temper, if you become aggressive, if you shut your mind, put your shutters down, sorry, you don't have it. You don't have it. You're not confident. You have a fear. You have a fear that you might lose what you already have, because the other person might actually say something for which you don't have an answer. It is possible. Honest to God, it is possible that you are talking to somebody about the question of truth, and that somebody is able to confuse you with his argument or question. So what? What is wrong with confusion? Because confusion must happen in order for you to reach the truth. If you are holding a position which is wrong, you must get confused in order for you to leave it and then move on to the right position. But if you are going for confidence, yaqeen, you want to have real yaqeen, confidence, that you are absolutely sure, well, it can be a false confidence. And I can tell you that there are many people in this world who are absolutely sure about their positions, even though the sure, definite positions of one group are completely the very opposite of the sure positions of the others. What a joke! Is it funny? I mean, what is this? We are living in a world created by God. God wants us to be open-minded. He wants us to be sympathetic, caring for others. Yes, He wants us to stay away from vice, evil. But He also wants us to let others know what is the truth and what others have in them which we think is wrong. And believe me, there is only one way of doing it. To do it peacefully, to do it intelligently, to do it wisely, to do it academically. The one who is drawing away from an attitude of intelligent, wise communication is doing injustice to his own cause. And I think he should better do something else instead of talking about his point of view, because he's spoiling the image of his point of view. So what I'm saying is that while we are living in a Western society, we really need to be acutely aware of the fact that we are the representatives of God's message by default, you like it or not. You know, you cannot run away from the fact that when your name is mentioned, your background is mentioned, your religion is mentioned, you know what? Makes me feel embarrassed, but the fact is that we are considered as representatives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of God. You know, when I speak, when I talk, when I behave, when I lie, when I cheat, when I deceive, when I, you know, angrily talk to others, you just can't run away from it. I mean, you are what you are. And therefore, I think we've got no choice. We can't erase our identity. But I think we can at least tell ourselves that, okay, you know, we have to behave. And we have to learn. And we have to deal with others well. This is God's design. If there is anything that causes you to be not particularly comfortable, tell yourself that this situation is by design of God. And we have been taught to always be comfortable and thankful for whatever God is planning and enabling us to experience. So essentially, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that when we are a part of the Western society now as Muslims, we need to do four things. We need to preserve our identity, our faith, and whatever good message that we are representatives of. We need to integrate with the rest of the society for various different reasons, all good reasons. But while we preserve, we of course stay away from the vices that are certainly there. But those vices, if they are there, I mean, there are two ways of reacting to them. One is to say that how bad, how evil they are. And the other way is to tell yourself that, oh my goodness, they don't know. They've not been properly informed. I'll try to work out some way of helping them understand. At least worry about it. Think of ways and means. And of course, it's also important that, you know, when we look at these, the different possibilities of enabling others to know in the areas where they are wrong, that they are wrong intelligently, We are also actually doing something for the future of our own generations. And of course, we need to learn. And learning is an ongoing process. And learning can only happen if you are humble. And learning can only happen if you are open and truthful. And a Muslim is always humble. And a Muslim is always open-minded. And is always willing to understand more and more. The one who doesn't open up for learning more is arrogant. A true Muslim can never be arrogant. And finally, we must try as best as we can to promote the good message that we are representatives of. I just end by telling you that, you know, we would like not like to behave like the kafirs mentioned in the Quran used to behave. The kafirs, you know, mentioned in the Quran were the people who would not listen to the truth, who would not open their minds when something else was being presented to them. Even if they would know what the truth is, deep inside, they would reject and spurn it. And they would stick to their guns and would say that what they already have with them is the only truth. Forget about anything else. May the Almighty enable us to be good humans, good Muslims, and good citizens of the Western society. Thank you very much.